DJ John Jastrzemski with you for the next 40 minutes right here on a fan 877-337-6666. This gentleman joins us each and every football Sunday. He's going to join us a special treat. No days off for our Vegas insider, RJ Bell, pregame.com. What's up, RJ? How are you, my man? Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you, JJ. But here's the thing. You're up till like 6 in the morning some nights. You're on before noon others. Talk about a grinder.
That's the way to do it, RJ. We got another show to do later on tonight. Not that anybody cares about that, because listen, it's about what you're doing in the here and now. I love the work. You know you love the work. And that's why we're here breaking down these three games that we have later on today. Let's get right to it. First and foremost, you know, there's this notion, RJ, that a lot of people have when they're looking into Thanksgiving football games, where they say, wow, short week, travel, home team has such an advantage against the spread. Did a little homework, did a little research. That's not the case. Do you think that's due to the fact that because it's a nationally televised game and everybody gets up for playing on Thanksgiving, that advantage you would normally have playing a Thursday night or a Thursday game on a short week at home goes out the window?
I don't think so, because, JJ, it would be analogous to a typical Thursday game on national TV, right? You might say, well, the Thanksgiving game has a bigger audience, but it really is a standalone Thursday game. And historically, at least if you look at all of those once-a-week type games on Thursday throughout the season, the road team suffers, and they suffer at two levels. One, they don't win as much. Two, they don't cover as much, which actually is even more surprising. They don't cover as much because you would think the betting market would understand short week, it's difficult to travel, but they tend to underestimate it. If you just play the home team blindly on those standalone games, really it's a situation where you win a little bit. Now, I'm not saying that's going to be something you do blindly, but historically, that factor, the road team disadvantage, has been pretty significant. And I'll tell you, in this first game, I think it's especially significant with a 12:30 Eastern time start. Because, I mean, those extra 6 or 7 hours, those are somewhat meaningful. I mean, think about this Minnesota, especially off this major, major win on Sunday, maybe their biggest win of the season. Celebrate Sunday, recover Monday, maybe prep a little bit on Tuesday, travel Wednesday, and then what time do you think this team got up for a 12:30 kickoff? 5 in the morning? The idea that has no effect, I think it has a significant effect, and it's one of the reasons I do like the Lions plus the 3.
All right, let's get to game number one. You just mentioned you like the Lions plus the 3. Minnesota has been playing some really good football. Case Keenum has taken care of the ball. He has Thielen and Diggs on the outside. Yards per play, which we talk about week in and week out, RJ, it's a stat that you love. It's a stat that I love. The wise guys out in Vegas are all over it. Minnesota amongst the leaders. In fact, I believe they are the leader, right, when it comes to yards per play and what they do on offense and what their opponents are not doing on defense. But because of the circumstance, short week, travel, desperation for the Lions, is that why you think Detroit a very safe play plus the 3 here in game one?
Yeah, I wouldn't say desperation, right? What I would say
is... See, I would, RJ, for the Lions, for this reason. If they want to win the division, right, they need this game. Minnesota wins, they go to 9-2, and the Lions are 6-5. You can't sell me that the Lions are going to find a way to win this division. If they want a home game, if they want to be hosting a game at Ford Field on Wild Card Weekend, this is a game they got to have.
Yeah, you know, again, does that lead to desperation or does that – and again, we're talking semantics. So let's agree we've got – both these teams are motivated.
Sure.
You mentioned net yards per play. Minnesota and the Saints are actually tied at the very top, 1.0 net yards per play. So every time they snap the ball on offense – every time they defend on defense, one snap each, they gain an extra yard. You can really figure, well, it's going to be hard to lose a lot of games when you're doing that. And obviously, Minnesota and the Saints have won a lot of games this year. I think, again, this Thanksgiving element is a huge element because Detroit's used to it. Whenever you have, and look at the Jags when they go to London, we've talked about this, they have played exceptionally well the last couple years. Why? Because it's their, what, fourth or fifth year doing it. Now, it might just be an aberration, and we're, in hindsight, applying this logic. But I think whenever you do something that's unusual, if you're not Bill Belichick, right? We saw a little dose of Belichick when he handled Mexico City, unlike any coach, practicing at altitude for like 5 days beforehand to get him acclimated. I think that a Belichick can deal with these unusual situations well. Even a coach as good as Minnesota's, Zimmer, I think there's a situation where not being as familiar with it's a negative, and I think that's a line's advantage.
We spent a couple of minutes with our Vegas insider. He joins us each and every football Sunday. He's joining us here on Thanksgiving Day, our buddy RJ Bell, pregame.com live from the desert. Okay, RJ, fascinating line with the Chargers and the Cowboys. The Chargers are a 4-6 football team. They are favored on the road in Dallas. Does that tell you a lot of wise guy money coming in on the Chargers because of their talent both sides of the ball?
Yeah, they got steamed. I mean, it was surprising. It was around Pick'em. So for those that don't bet, home field advantage in the NFL is typically worth about 3 points. So Dallas should get 3. Now, Dallas is a little less than average when it comes to that home field advantage. So let's call it 2.5. So if Dallas were 2.5, it'd say these are even teams. When it was Pick'em, it was like, wow, Chargers are clearly the better team. Now, moving towards 2.5 and even 3 in some spots for the Chargers is a sign of, wow, Chargers are clearly better. Like, you know, 5 points better. It's like, you know, hard to imagine, especially if you're looking at the record. I think there's two reasons for this. One, Chargers in one score games last two seasons. So either win or lose by 7 or less, 3-12 straight up. So why does that matter? Vegas believes strongly one-score games are coin flips. In the long run, they will even out. So out of 15 of the games, they won only 3. They should have won 7.5, right? So 7 or 8. So they should have 4 or 5 more wins the last two seasons. If the Chargers had 4 or 5 more wins, how much better would they be perceived? Much better. And that's why Vegas perceives them like that. The flip side is Dallas has injuries that aren't the biggest names, right? Zeke is obviously absent, but Moore's played pretty well. I don't think that's the problem, at least for the short term. I think it's Sean Lee, linebacker, out. The stats with him off the field, Cowboys are horrible on D. With him on the field, they're above average on D. And also, and I'm not sure of the updated status of left tackle Smith, if he's out, even a bigger factor, we've seen his absence meaning so much. So not necessarily big names, but big impacts, absences hurting Dallas. That's the second reason we're seeing so much Chargers money.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And that's why I'm very leery of the Cowboys here in this spot, RJ. It's not just due to the fact that Zeke Elliott is suspended. Listen, we all know Zeke Elliott plays a pivotal role on that team. He's their best offensive player. But Tyron Smith on the offensive line is a game changer. And if he's not 100% going up against Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, that would scare me. And defensively, the numbers don't lie, my friend. You just hit on it. They are a completely different defense when Sean Lee suits up. So if he's not going to be there, I think it's going to be free reign for Rivers, Gordon, those receivers they have. And I don't know if you feel the same way that I do, RJ. I look at this as an elimination game for these two. The loser of this game is going to have a very difficult time trying to find their way into the postseason.
Especially the Chargers. I think even more of the Chargers. But, yeah, I think you're right. Dallas uphill after this. You bring up a great point. Two great points quickly. One, if you're deficient at a position like left tackle, it's more important if you're playing a very good defensive front. And the Chargers meet that criteria for sure, a very good defensive front. Number two, it's a situation where if you have a player who may play or not play, it's not a binary. It's not just play or not play. It's not play, play at 70%, play at 80%, 90 or 100. And along that spectrum is they're not the same player until they get to 100, and thus it's still a drop-off even if they play.
All right, RJ, let's get to the nightcap, a game that's going to matter to a lot of folks around here. The Giants coming off a win over Kansas City, 2-8 on the year. Nightmare season for Ben McAdoo. They go into Washington. The Redskins lost a heartbreaker on Sunday to the New Orleans Saints. They are very beat up going to this game. Trent Williams is a game-time decision. Jordan Reed is a game-time decision. A lot of injuries for the Skins, but yet they are a 7-point favorite, even with no Williams potentially, no Reed potentially. Thompson is out for the year. Is this Vegas telling you, because of the way the Giants laid down against the Niners and they laid down against the Rams, we don't feel comfortable making this a 4 or 4.5 point spread? We got to value Washington for their effort throughout the year and the lack thereof that we've seen from the Giants at times this year?
Yeah, great setup. I think Chris Thompson out for the Redskins is a sneaky big factor. Probably the best non-quarterback on the offensive side this season for the Skins. But let's look at the Giants. Here's a powerful concept. Some teams play to a very similar level week after week. It might be a high level like the Patriots. It might be a lower level like the Bears are pretty consistent. Not a great level, but a pretty consistent team. The Giants have had two double-digit underdog outright wins this year. So they will play, you know, quite well to win a game. You know, in hindsight, Denver doesn't look quite as good, but to beat Kansas City, another impressive win, right? On the other hand, to lose to the 49ers, right? You don't get much worse than that. I think that those high variance teams, where their best and their worst are so much different, are either the best teams to handicap or the worst teams, based upon if you can understand what causes the variance. I'll give you an example. Another high variance team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm a fan. I remain objective, but I'm a fan, so I watch that team closely. I think I've got them figured out. Is if they're playing a game that has obvious motivation, it's like, wow, it's on national TV. Steelers probably going to overperform. Wow, it's against the Ravens. Steelers are probably going to overperform. In every other situation, if it's not against either a really good team on national TV or against a division rival, Pittsburgh tends to drop off. We saw it against the Jags. We saw it against the Bears this year. If you can crack the code on why a team is high variance, you have a big edge. If you can't crack the code, if you don't understand it, then I think it's a situation where all the lines makers can do is kind of blend those two extreme results, the really good performances, the really bad, and that line's going to be somewhere in the middle. I think that's what they do with the Giants. Now, I know you follow, JJ, the Giants closely. What do you think is the cause of these extreme level of play with the Giants, good and bad?
I'm going to tell you, it's poor coaching, RJ. And the fact that this team does not get up game in and game out is an indictment on Ben McAdoo, because the Giants, despite the injuries that they've had this year, are far superior than their 2-8 record. You know it, and I know it. All right, RJ, real quick before we go, you got back to winning ways last week. You had the Ravens as your best bet of the week. They delivered in a big way. Your best bet of Turkey Day would be?
Oh, of Turkey Day. Oh, okay. I'm going
yeah,
with.
We got to chat on Sunday, RJ. So don't be giving
That's
away
good.
Any free material on Sunday, my man.
So I'm getting a double week of best bets. I'm going with the Lions +3. We talked about it. I think this Lions team has been overrated throughout the last 2 years because of a lot of close wins. I think they're finally getting to be about rated properly. And lastly on this, I think it's a situation where the health on the offense for the Lions is better than it's been most of the year. Lions +3, best bet of the day.
Our guy, Vegas insider RJ Bell. Check him out on pregame.com. RJ, appreciate a couple minutes. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll chat again on Sunday, all right?
Same to you, JJ. Thank you.